Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. To my core, I believe that everyone is naturally creative. There is no such thing as a creative type. And I believe that teachers have this amazing role where they get to inspire creativity in their students and cultivate a climate of curiosity and creativity. And so on this podcast, we look at the tools and the strategies. I share stories and sometimes some of my big epic failures in the hopes that we can all shift toward being more creative in our practice and inspiring our students to be more creative. And today I'm going to talk about something that is a little more loosely based on creativity, but I think it's still a critical part of it. And it's this idea of game-based learning. So we're going to dive into some reasons why you might want to pilot game-based learning. And I want to point out something about the word pilot. This is what I love about the word pilot. If you ask your principal permission to do something cool, your principal may or may not say yes, depending on if they're interested or not. But when you say, I want to pilot something, they almost always say yes. And the reason why is there's the sense that it's going to be small. It's going to be, you're going to be kind of shoestringing it and doing it on your own. And there's a feeling that, you know, if it doesn't work, you'll go back to normal, which is honestly what you do with everything that you experiment with. And what I love about that is, like, just tell your principal or your leader or whoever's in charge that you're going to pilot something, and you get so much better results in terms of trying something new. If you're a principal, though, like, that's what's also awesome. If you're a principal who wants to push the envelope and get teachers to innovate, same thing. Like, if you just say, I want you to just pilot this, test it out. There's this cool low-risk aspect to the word pilot that I think is really cool. Anyway, let's get started with why we might want to pilot game-based learning. So for the past 2 weeks, I have worked with a team of fellow doctoral students on a game to explore the themes of turbulence, equity, justice, and empathy. Now, I don't blog about this very often. I don't talk about it in my podcast, but I have a real heart for empathy and social justice. I care deeply about certain issues that I might not always put online all the time, but it's near and dear to my heart. And so I wanted to, you know, work with these teachers and these fellow doc students on developing a game that would teach students about those themes in a way that would be, you know, kind of connected to discovery. And so what happened is this. We started out with this game called Rockville, and it was a game with that my professor Scott led us on, and it was so incredibly cool. The whole goal of it was to win a fictional scholarship, and he had us start with developing our own characters. And for me, the character that I developed of Julio felt so much like so many of the students I used to teach, that I really connected with this aspect of character building. And then what would happen is we finished the game, and then we met with teams of like four or five to design our own games that we would then use to teach the core concepts of equity that were within this course. Now, I want to point out that this wasn't the same thing as like creating a trivia game, right? We weren't going to make, you know, Equity Jeopardy. Like, it wasn't like that. This had to be immersive. It had to be something where the students who played the game would gain a new perspective. And that piece, that empathy piece, is actually critical to creativity and critical to design thinking, because design thinking includes empathy. It's all about building empathy. And so my idea was that I really wanted to help students learn how to empathize. And yeah, a game's not always the best way to do it, but games are often this non-threatening way to enter another person's world. And that's what I loved about this. So we started out with this user-focused exploration. And the process we used for making our game was actually very similar to design thinking. We started with thinking about our audience, thinking about what they cared about. Then we kind of shared ideas. We did some research. We moved into ideating and then building and revising and ultimately launching it to our fellow classmates. The cool thing is, well, I'll get to that in a little bit. So we came up with this game called Sabotage Island. And it was so much fun. We met together, we planned it out, and Sabotage Island begins with the premise that two teams are stranded on an island and they need to figure out how to get home. Along the way, they compete against one another to acquire tools that they will then need to help build the item at the very end that will allow them to reach the transmitter to go home. Now, I was really nervous the morning that we launched our game because I felt like we didn't test it out enough and I wasn't sure how it would go. And suddenly, I felt this tension between teaching concepts and creating suspense and gameplay. Like, what if it failed? What if we didn't actually teach anything through our game and they were just, you know, they played a fun game, but that was it? Or what if the game itself was just not very engaging? What if it was boring, like those like 1970s un-games that people used to make? Like that, I didn't want that. What if the game lasted forever, like the way that people play Monopoly and it's just 9 hours or a 3-day Dungeons and Dragons game? I couldn't get that. And what if it was so confusing, like Cones of Dunshire? That's a reference to Parks and Rec. But in the end, we launched the game and it worked really, really well. The debrief was awesome. And we're actually going to use this game and modify elements and improve and iterate and change as we use it with undergraduate students. I am so excited about our game. And that leads to this topic of game-based learning. Now, game-based learning is an immersive experience where students master learning targets through the gameplay. So they don't play a game after they've learned the topic. They are learning the topic through the game. And that's really important. Unlike a review game, game-based learning introduces new ideas as you enter and interact with this virtual environment. And when I say virtual environment, these games might be online, but often they are physical and hands-on. The key thing here is that the learning happens through rather than before the game. Often these games take on the form of a simulation. There's often world building and character development, but they don't always have to be like that. Now, when I taught social studies, toward the beginning of my career, this was before I even got into, say, project-based learning or design thinking, I got really into game-based simulations. So it was actually one of the first things I tried out that was different. And it was our way to process complex ideas. Students engaged in communist, capitalist, socialist, and mixed economy version of Monopoly. And it was fascinating when they took surveys to see whether they attributed wealth to luck or decision-making. It was fascinating to watch kind of the bias at play in their surveys. We played a modified version of the game Risk in order to understand how the alliance system, imperialism, nationalism, how those things led to World War I. Here we also looked at war poetry, comparing the Great War to cricket matches, and we contrasted that with the sheer destruction of World War I that they saw in photos and read in diaries. They suddenly realized how often in history war has been compared to a game and maybe some of the dangers in that. Now, Greg Kostikian, I'm sorry if I'm messing up that name, breaks gameplay down into the following components. I love this. There's interaction. The game changes with a player's actions, so it's not static. Every game should be like that. a goal. There has to be a sense of purpose to the game. And often the goal will include a winner or a loser, but in a game like Minecraft, there's no winner or loser, but there is a goal. You're trying to build something. Struggle. Every game has an element of struggle, even if it's not a super competitive game. So if you think of Minecraft or SimCity, the struggle is often creative. If you think of a game like Fortnite, the struggle is dealing with multiple players who are, you know, trying to shoot you. Structure. Games have rules and procedures and systems, and you have to follow those. If they're too vague or they're too confusing or they don't exist, then the game just kind of sucks. And endogenous meaning. Here, the game structure creates its own meaning. That's what it means. Now, game-based learning incorporates these five components in a way that leads to the mastery of content. Now, when I was a kid, we used to play Oregon Trail, and I pretty much always died of dysentery every single time. Now, there are some real problems with Oregon Trail and Manifest Destiny and all of that, and I'm not going to get into it, but I just want to point out that that's what existed. That was the only, I would say, truly game-based learning that we did. And I'm not even sure how much of the content I learned through the game. It didn't do a fantastic job teaching me, especially about the more complex aspects of Westward Expansion. Now, game-based learning has grown immensely in the previous three decades. We've seen an explosion of games, figuratively, not literally, because exploding tablets might be a thing from Samsung, but explosion games are, you know, certainly too dangerous. But anyway, we've seen an explosion of games ranging from computer simulations and virtual worlds to hands-on games built around localized play. So why would a teacher even choose to use game-based learning? Why would they incorporate it into a course development? Well, here are a few of the reasons why, actually seven reasons why. Number one, game-based learning boosts engagement. They go beyond what Philip Schlechte calls strategic compliance, that's high attention but low commitment, and into a place where they have full buy-in. Students get the opportunity to make decisions, pursue a goal, and check their own progress. Number two, the information sticks. Here, students experience higher retention of the content. Often the game becomes a mental model that students can go back to in order to make sense out of what they learned. And the debrief experience connects the emotional, memorable experience with the content in a way that leads to deeper, more permanent understanding. You simply remember more. Number three, immersive games can help students make connections between concepts and ideas. They see learning as interconnected when they engage in this. Often we teach content in silos with clear objectives and direct instruction and separate subjects and whatnot. But with game-based learning, students discover the content in a way that is connective and interdisciplinary rather than simply linear. Number four, game-based learning bridges the abstract and the concrete. They are fully immersive. Participants maneuver within their environments to make sense out of the information, and it's a way to teach concepts and systems that might seem opaque and distant in a way that is visual and experiential. It was hard for my students to wrap their minds around economic systems or imperialism, but a simulation that helped them make the connection led to a deeper understanding of the concepts and the content, and really bridged that abstract and concrete. Information is more accessible. That's number five. With game-based learning, students at all levels can participate in the process. There's a low barrier of entry. Now, too often we expect students to have tons of content knowledge or a strong mastery of reading and writing, but with a game, students get the chance to discover the content on a more even playing field. Number six, students engage in critical thinking. Students are always making decisions that require analysis and synthesis when they're playing games. Now, they can then use the simulation to answer critical thinking questions and to debrief, and again, to understand things at a deeper level. And finally, number seven, games can help lead to a love of learning. Quite simply, games are fun. And when students engage in game-based learning, they begin to fall in love with your subject and your content area. They realize that it is intrinsically rewarding to geek out on learning. Now, I want to point this out. Simulations work best when dealing with abstract ideas or complex systems. The predator and prey version of tag can help students learn about the food chain, but a simulation to show how stanzas work, it's going to probably fail. A poverty simulation can help students make sense out of the human side of geopolitics, but how to solve a linear equations game probably isn't going to work. Although some of the best games focus on human systems, you can create immersive systems that aren't quite as humanistic. I once saw a really cool game called Integer War that helps students determine what to do with positive and negative integers. That was my friend Derek Etheridge, who's now a principal. He was awesome when he came up with that game. And it was a simple thing, but it had the elements of gameplay, the best elements of gameplay. I mean, it had challenge, suspense, incremental success. There were kids coming in at lunch to play it. It was awesome. The bottom line is this. You don't have to use game-based learning all the time, but it is one of the strategies you can use as you develop a creative classroom. And if they fall in love with the learning, if they're excited about it and passionate, if they're learning it on a deeper level, if they're remembering more of the information, then guess what? They're moving one step closer to being lifelong learners. Thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. If you enjoyed this, would you do me a favor and leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or the 8-track that you listen to it on, whatever. And would you tell a friend about it? So thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.